this whole methodology, everything that I've uncovered and objectified, is about how do I get clear. In order to be clear, you have to decide what's not clear and deal with that.
So you're still trying to have the control and have the overview and have the all the strings, you know, but maybe you should just let it go.
Well, I think you need the combination, the ability to shift between a high focus and a high control and sort of let the world occur to you as it occurs to you. It's probably one of the biggest needs for executives and entrepreneurs. You don't need time, you need room.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is if you don't have any room in your head, you can't be creative, you can't be innovative, you can't be strategic, you can't be present, you can't be as loving as you want to be with your kids or your dog or whatever. You're just distracted.
Welcome to Groeivoer. My guest today is David Allen. David is the world-renowned author and creator of the Getting Things Done method. David published his original book, Getting Things Done, in 2001. He sold 3 million copies, so he made a big impact. And in 2024, very recent, he launched his newest book on how to get things done with a team. David, welcome to the show.
Gerhard, thanks for the invitation. Glad to be here.
Good. You live in Amsterdam.
I do.
Which is quite close to Utrecht. And I'm very curious, what do you like about the Dutch? And what is something we could still work on or improve?
Well, you know, the Dutch are quite famous for being quite direct. And I think that's great. Don't beat around the bush. You say what you mean. It's great. And the Dutch, for the most part, at least my experience has been, you do it very elegantly. So it's not like you're brutal. You're just direct. So I very much appreciate that. I appreciate the practicality of the Dutch. We love the Dutch people, their style, the culture. And these days particularly, it's a great country to be in relative to all the things going on in all the other countries. like all countries, it has its issues, but it's so global. And Amsterdam is, you know, it's sort of like the Republic of Amsterdam. So much like the Republic of San Francisco, you know, has its own culture. But I love how global it is, how many languages you can hear walking down the street. Relatively safe, and obviously it's an eye candy city, so you know it's beautiful to
Keizersgracht, Prinsengracht,
beautiful to be in. But of course, you know, we're in our fourth location since we've been there. We've been there 11 years almost, and we started out in the center of the city. It got a little noisy and a little, you know, raucous. We were very close to Leidseplein, and once you learn the city and learn the trams, you just need to be, you know, along a good tram line. So we migrated a little further south. So we wound up buying an apartment and renovating an apartment right on the south edge of Amsterdam, right close to Amstelveen.
Yeah, beautiful. And is there something we should work on as Dutchies? Because you said we are direct. I thought that could be, that could go both ways, you know?
Like
too direct or...
It could. What would improve? I think there's more of the ability to I don't know how to phrase this, maybe to stand out a little bit more. You know, you like to not stick out, in a way.
Too modest, maybe, or...
A little too modest, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, I've been around a lot of the startup culture in Amsterdam. And of course, their whole thing is how do you make a pitch and how do you kind of get it up to sound great and to be as great as you think you might be.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know, again, that goes both ways. The modesty is nice, but at the same time, I know that America has an attraction to a lot of the Dutch entrepreneurs or whatever, mm-hmm. because the image is, you know, just to some degree it's a myth, but to some degree it's real that you can, there's so many things you can do in the United States, you know, if you put yourself out and go for it.
So the sky's the limit. So we could think a bit bigger maybe, or at least stand up and show yourself. That could be something.
Yeah, yeah. But again, we love the Dutch. We love the Dutch culture. It is so, you know, almost every Dutchman I've ever met who's, you know, over 25 has traveled the world or traveled some big part of the world. And it's such an open culture in that way. Of course, you know, 500, 600 years ago, that's how the Dutch sort of ruled the world, was being quite global and international, open to different cultures, et cetera. So it still has that DNA, which is lovely.
Yeah. I want to transition to getting things done. You already mentioned startups, maybe scale-ups. You've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, in the past years.
Yeah.
What is something you observe? Is there like something you observe in a lot of entrepreneurs? Which
Well, one of the biggest issues in terms of entrepreneurs' productivity is how many hats they have to wear. You know, you wear a party hat and now it's a good time, and then you have to put on your financial hat and you have to count the euros, and then you have to put on, you know, and all the different hats, and then struggling with which ones do we give away as we start to grow, and trying to figure that out. And so building an appropriate organization chart, if you will. What are the different roles? Clarifying of roles is one of the things we, you know, deal a lot with in the new book on team, because that can very much get in the way if roles are not clear. And obviously things are moving fast for a lot of entrepreneurs. So the speed of change and the speed of, you know, there's nothing really new in the world except how frequently things are new.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then you have to be ready to integrate whatever the new reality is quickly, and then recalibrate and refocus. And, you know, most all the entrepreneurs are up to here. They're already full up.
Yeah.
More to do than they can do.
Swamped.
So when they have something new they have to deal with, they got to let go of something.
Yeah.
And that's tough, you know, for a lot of entrepreneurs to do that.
Well, what about AI? Because I mean, that question was on my list very, very low. But now that you mentioned that the world is changing in a high pace, is that a game changer?
Or is it just another game changer? It's a game speeder upper. You know, it's AI in its best form is just good decision support. So. You don't need somebody to go do a lot of research and spend a lot of time doing that, because you can just use AI to get that fast.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and I don't know that that's a game changer. You've always had decision support capability.
Mm-hmm.
It's sped it up, you know, tremendously. So, and, you know, it's like it may be as game changing as spreadsheets and word processors were. You know, up until AI, I'd have to say there's not much. The only thing that really changed was speed and volume of content that the digital world, you know, was producing, or at least made available to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the old days, you only had two or three channels that you had to check.
Yeah.
You know, now you know, people have to deal with what I call channel creep.
Uh-huh.
How many things? How many? Well, there's Slack and there's Team and there's you know, Google Meet,
WhatsApp,
and there's
LinkedIn, channels,
and WhatsApp, and you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that just adds that many more in baskets, it essentially, for somebody to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So having to learn to be discreet about how you manage your channels and how you manage the flow of inputs, that's pretty new.
Yeah.
That's changed a lot, you know, in the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, I thought I had it figured out, and until I started doing more on LinkedIn. So now I have my email, now I have my LinkedIn box, now I have my WhatsApp, now I have. So it's very relatable that you have all these channels and you have to keep up and you have to do inbox zero. You have to clean it up all the time. But first, maybe it's good for those people that still, or they might have heard about getting things done. We might give a little crash course on the steps.
Sure.
Would you be so kind to go over them?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I've spent the last, golly, 40, now 45 years probably in this space of personal productivity anyway. What are the best practices? And I didn't really make them up. I discovered them and recognized the best practices and then made them objective. In terms of what is it, when you're really on and things are really cooking, things are really snapping right, what's going right?
Hmm.
Well, you know, I identified a basic part of the getting things done methodology, or the five steps of how you get any situation more focused and in control. And those five steps are capturing what has your attention, clarifying exactly what those things mean and what you're going to do about them, if anything. Organizing the results of that thinking, if you can't finish the thing in the moment it occurs to you, organizing reminders, essentially, and then having some sort of a reflection process in terms of the content that you've now generated or captured and clarified. And then step five would be engage. Where do you point your activity and your focus, given that you've captured, clarified, organized, and reflected on all of your agreements with yourself? It's really about agreements with yourself. Many of them include other people, but they're all things you've told yourself you would, could, should, need to, ought to. And most people have made a lot more of those commitments than they realize.
Yeah.
And they're trying to use their head as their office, and your head's a really crappy office.
Yeah.
Did not evolve to do that very well.
Yeah. If I reflect on my personal struggle with all these things that are on my list, I think step one, that's not the big deal for me. So capture, that's what I do. I make this brain dump. So I have Google Keep. That's where I just unload everything that comes to mind. And what I feel or think is that I have too much ideas. So I never get past step one. So how could I solve that problem? Or do you have any suggestions?
Well, one way that problem starts to get a lot more solved is get older.
Uh-huh. I'm 41 now, so
You know, I'm 79 now, so, you know, trust me, the older you get, the more discreet you're going to be about which things really matter to you.
Mm.
And so, you're young and you think you'll live forever and you could do all the things that you're thinking about, you know, wrong.
Dream
on. And there's nothing wrong with having lots of ideas. And what you need to do is just make sure that you've got a good way to identify what all those things are and then manage the inventory of the things that you need to assess, essentially a menu. Kind of, for most entrepreneurs, it becomes kind of a Chinese menu, you know, with 200 things that they could be doing. But once you've been clarified, if you go through the clarify steps, it makes it a lot easier. You know, is this really an actionable item? Or is this a someday maybe? You know, making that distinction, you know, this can wait. You know, this is not that critical right now, and or I don't have the resources, or it's not the right timing for this. And so the someday maybe list is a very useful part of the methodology.
Yeah.
Like a parking lot, essentially.
Yeah.
Being able to park that stuff. And so having ideas is nothing absolutely wrong with that. Just you need to make sure you can make the distinction between parking lot stuff and the things that really do need clarification and organization in terms of clarifying the inventory of what your commitments are.
Mm. Yeah, I have a big parking lot. There's a lot of ideas in there, like, for instance, podcast ideas. And I'm aware that an idea is nothing. I mean, it will only become something if you execute on the idea. And then still you need to make it a success. So I park it for someday maybe. But the stage I'm in right now, there I don't even have like the full picture. And someone told me, like, maybe you should try to control it less. So you're still trying to have the control and have the overview and have the all the strings, you know, but maybe you should just let it go and go with the flow.
Well, I think you need the combination.
Hmm.
You know, it's the Zen, you know, let go, surrender, and, you know, let life occur to you as it occurs to you. At the same time, you then need to shift and focus. Mm. And so the ability to shift between a high focus and a high control to let go and relax and sort of let the world occur to you as it occurs to you. And so building that in, even just on a daily basis, you know, it's probably one of the biggest needs for executives and entrepreneurs is reflection time.
Yeah.
You know, stop, you know.
Zoom out, do nothing.
Zoom out, zoom up, do nothing. Sometimes the most productive thing to do is nothing.
Yeah. Would you recommend everybody to get a dog and go out without your phone and...
That helps. I mean, two, and I don't go out with my phone. So
yeah.
No, that helps. You know, anything like that, anything that can get you, you know, away from the grind, essentially, can be very helpful. But you can't stay there. In order to be able to afford to let go,
yeah,
you still need to make sure you are managing your life and your work well.
Yeah. Yeah, so you cannot go outdoors forever. I mean, I like to spend time in nature. It's 1 hour a day. That's how I start my days.
Yeah, good.
And then I turn off my phone. But during the walk, I get ideas. So
sure.
When I get home from the walk, I turn on my phone. I write them down. So that's a good thing. But the things you were saying were in my experience more pointing towards a spiritual solution to a practical problem, because the critique at production productivity techniques is like it will only get you busier. So the more you can throughput, the more you can output, and then you keep working harder and harder. You've heard this many times over.
Sure.
Of course. But I'm also attracted to this more spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Well, I call it spiritual, but to relax,
yeah,
and release.
Well, you with spiritual with a small s.
Yeah. What's
meaning,
the difference? Can you elaborate?
Well, there's
on that?
There's the capital S spiritual, which would be more religiosity, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big proponent of that. But the small s, absolutely, which is what can I not see? There are all kinds of things that are going on that are important to you. You can't see. You
mm-hmm.
can't see emotions. You can't see thoughts, unless you're, you know, some sort of a psychic and have capability to do that. But so there's all kinds of things that are not visible, and your ability to be able to access those things and be open to those things, I think is important. You know, there's an old personal growth axiom that you can never get enough of what you don't really need.
Yeah.
And what you don't need is to work harder, you know, and you mentioned it to your point is like harder. The more I work, the better I get. The better I get, the more I work, the more I have to do da 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 da.
It's a certain death.
And that's why I say, you know, get older. That'll help. Or have other things occur in your life, like kids or dogs or hobbies or things that you really love to do. Aside from the day-to-day grind, intentionally, whatever your work is. And of course, you know, it's if you're finding something that you love to do, you'll never work another day in your life, as they say.
Yeah. Well, you're still going strong. I mean, you're still in the game.
I'm still
yourself,
in the game.
Yeah.
My game looks a lot different than it did when I was 50 or when I was 25. But yeah, I couldn't stop doing what I'm doing if I tried, because...
Yeah.
You know, the getting things done methodology, in my experience, is something that doesn't hurt anybody, and anybody who implements any part of it, not necessarily the whole thing, but any part of what I just said, is going to improve their condition. They're going to feel better. They're going to be in more control. They're going to have more clarity.
Yeah.
You know, and if they implement any of this, and I couldn't, you know, I'm really probably more of an educator than an entrepreneur myself. I'd never really planned to have, you know, a big company or to do entrepreneurial, you know, let me do this. And then once that's done, let me go sell it and then go do something else. That has never been my style or interest in doing that. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there are a lot of people do that very well.
Did you struggle with that?
Not really. I've just always said, what do I need to do so I can keep doing what I like to do? So that's been, you know, I've been graced to have found, you know, a business that doesn't do anything but improve people's condition, that, and then be able to, you know, create enough kind of good business model with it that it allows.
Weet jij nog waarom je ooit bent gaan ondernemen? Voor mij was de reden simpel. Ik was te eigenwijs om voor een baas te werken en ik wilde graag vrij zijn. Maar toen ik een tijdje bezig was, ontdekte ik al snel dat je een groot stuk van je vrijheid inlevert omdat je wordt opgeslokt door allerlei randzaken. En dus moet je zorgen dat je je vrijheid terugverovert. En ik doe dat door het bouwen van systemen en processen. En daar gebruik ik Teamleader voor. Teamleader is een softwarepakket waarin ik alles van mijn bedrijf vastleg. Klanten, offertes, facturen, maar ik bouw er ook processen in. En dat zorgt ervoor dat ik weer meer vrijheid heb als ondernemer. Als jij ook meer vrijheid wil en terug wil naar waarom je ooit bent gaan ondernemen, ga dan even naar teamleader.nl/groeivoer en sluit vandaag nog een gratis proefversie af.
I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of people, especially young, very young entrepreneurs, they want to be billionaires, gazillionaires. They see the big cars and all the money, but you never went for that.
Not really. I like, you know, a nice lifestyle, and my wife and I have a nice lifestyle, but we're not out there trying to grab more and more and more, you know. I think you need to be comfortable enough. And, you know, what I need to feel comfortable, you know, has changed a little bit over the years, but not a lot.
No, because you mentioned that if you want to get things done, you also, well, you need to pay the mortgage, the bills, you need to be productive. But on the other hand, you need to zoom out, to relax, to also live your purpose. We'll get to that, especially when we go to the teams. But
sure.
So how do you balance that? Because if you don't have money, you have no room to delegate. If you don't have money, you have stress. Your mind goes to, how am I going to pay the bills? So how would you say people could balance that?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's quite unique to each individual. It's like, what do they want? You know, and what is important to them in terms of life and lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people that are just not interested in building any bigger business than what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're fine doing that. And
but to a lot of people, that's wrong. You know, you have to think bigger. You have to go go next level.
Well, again, that could be how that person is wired,
uh-huh.
And so they need to then do that in order to be able to, you know, be clear. It's all about, you know, in a way. This whole methodology, everything that I've uncovered and objectified, is about how do I get clear. Clarity to me is probably the most valuable thing that you could have.
Yeah.
And clarity, you know, you can get there a lot of ways. And it's funny because you need to do both. In order to be clear, you have to decide what's not clear in my life and my work and deal with that. And then how do I get even clearer to be able to stop all that and then lift up higher and have a higher horizon and higher look in terms of what I am about and, you know, what's important to me?
Yeah.
What matters?
Yeah. Do you have any rituals like meditation every day? Or, I mean, this is kind of a Tim Ferriss question. Like, he likes to tease out the habits of high performance. That's his tagline.
I don't really, I plan as little as I can get by with, frankly. And yes, I've, you know, practiced sort of my spiritual practices, meditation, et cetera, for over 50 years. And so it just became part of my lifestyle more than anything else. So it's not necessarily that I stop and take an hour to do meditation or whatever. I can meditate while I'm waiting for the tram, you know.
How does that work?
Or even on the tram. Just being quiet, you know.
And observe.
Observe. Yeah. Enjoy. You know, not, again, sort of getting out of the trying to constantly keep doing something.
Yeah.
And you know, just take up, you know, the mindfulness people these days, you know, just focus on your breathing, get present,
uh-huh.
You know.
How did things go with the nasal breathing? Because you mentioned that on the Tim Ferriss show that you were experimenting with. There was a new book that came out.
Yeah, the Oxygen...
Oxygen Advantage.
Advantage, yeah. I still... I don't practice it a lot, mm-hmm. But I practice it enough so that I more habitually breathe through my nose, in and out through my nose, than my mouth. And sometimes I'm more conscious of it than others, but it keeps me from snoring, you know, at night. And my wife loves that.
That's beneficial to get it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are, I mean, yeah, meditation, for me, that's still the image, you know, like yoga or lying down somewhere, or it has to be for hours, but you could do it anywhere. You could just walk around, look at a tree, really see the tree or really observe it. Maybe to some listeners that might sound a bit vague or too spiritual, but it's all about clarity, because that's what you were referring to. Like, yeah. How do you get clear as an entrepreneur? How do you know if you're doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it's if I am asked to come into any kind of a situation for an individual or for a team, you know, my first question is, what has your attention? Because for the most part, I'd say 98% of the time, things that have your attention, you're not yet appropriately engaged with. And getting things done, you know, in a way, productivity has got a lot of baggage as a word. Most people think, oh God, I'm already busy enough. I don't need to be more productive. But productivity, my definition of productivity, just means achieving some sort of desired result. And if your desired result is clarity and you're not doing what you need to be clear, that's unproductive. If you go to a party to have fun and don't have fun, it's an unproductive party for you.
Yeah.
You know, or if you go on vacation to relax and don't relax, that's unproductive. So getting things done kind of has a little bit of that edge to it, where people think, oh, it's about working harder. I don't need, I've got enough to do. I don't need to learn, you know, something else to add to my plate, yeah, in terms of stuff I need to do. But getting things done is really more about being appropriately engaged with your life and your work. And appropriate engagement doesn't mean that you go finish everything and do everything. It just means, hey, what that is that has my attention, here's what I've decided it is. Here's where I've organized a reminder about something about it that I need to see in an appropriate time and context, and I don't need to keep thinking about it. So if things that have your attention are the things that you're not yet appropriately engaged with, that's not a judgment. That's not a bad thing. It's just an indication that there's decisions you haven't made yet, or you haven't parked the results in some sort of trusted system or person, you know, that in terms of what it means to you.
Yeah. One of the three habits you describe in the book is also outcome focus.
Yeah.
That reminded me of begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Which is one of the principles, very famous, of course. How could I implement that? Because
that's how you do it. You imagine what would it be? What would done be? See, in a way, I know this sounds a little simplistic, but it's really true. The way you get things done is you decide what done means and what doing looks like and where that happens. Those are two different kinds of things. And, you know, it was strange to me. I found it curious over all these years and all the one-on-one coaching I've done, thousands of hours with some of the brightest people you'd ever meet. And very challenging for people to take something that has their attention and say, what's your desired result for this thing, this situation? It could be a small thing. Like, oh, I want to have this fixed, or I want to have this clear. I want to have this handled. I want to be able to put this to bed. It could be a big thing, like, wow, you know, I need to buy a company, or I need to make sure that we've got an X number of valuation in terms of our company. It could be any one of those things. All of those things, you know, are outcomes. We're doing outcome thinking all the time. It's how you get out of the room, as you see yourself out of the room, and then you go match your picture.
Yeah.
Right. So we're constantly doing that. You couldn't stop doing that if you tried. You oftentimes, it's by default, you're just, you know, having outcomes that you are used to thinking about, or ways that you're used to thinking, but they are creating, they're creating your world. Hmm. So that's what done means. What does done mean? And then what does doing look like? Interestingly, that requires two different parts of your brain. The outcome thinking is the forebrain. That's the, you know, the latest part of the evolution in terms of what happened. And that's the part of you that makes decisions, that, that can think pros and cons, that can do, you know, analyzing stuff. It's, that's that part of the brain. The action part of the equation, how do I implement, how do I execute, is more the limbic part of the brain that says survival. You know, I need to do, you know, whatever. So, and because it, I think that's why people kind of resist to do both of those at the same time. But it's actually a muscle, it's kind of a cognitive muscle you can develop, is to take something that has your attention and say, what's my desired outcome and what's the next step I would need to move the needle on this?
And
training yourself to do those kinds of thinking. And it doesn't, I can tell you from thousands of hours with working with some of the brightest, busiest people you'd ever meet on the planet, that that's not something that comes naturally to people to do.
Exactly.
You have to train yourself to do that. It's not hard in, like, you know, like hard physical thing or hard mental thing to do. It is challenging to kind of exercise both those parts of your brain almost simultaneously.
Yeah. Also, if you're doing it on your own, which we will talk about in the next episode about the team. If you surround yourself with people that follow the same logic, or you start building on that. But now when we focus on this solopreneur, the person that works alone or is just about personal productivity, do you have any insights when it comes to distractions? How do you, because I heard an interview with you, and the interviewer, he said there was a lot of talk on Reddit about getting things done. And then you said, well, I didn't read it and I don't care to read it, which I found striking, because if it was my methodology, I would be very curious to go there and just go down the rabbit hole. But you found a way to separate yourself from the world. I don't know how you did it, but can you enlighten us
a
little bit?
You know, come on, when you spend 40 years doing this work and watching the results that are invariable, and you know it works, then, you know, it's interesting to, it can be interesting, and sometimes just my curiosity is like, how do people implement this?
Yeah.
And what do they do? But the basics are just so basic and fundamental, they don't change.
Yeah.
I mean, when we fly to Jupiter, if and when we do that, we still need an in basket. You still need to clarify what's got your attention. You still need to organize that. You still need to reflect on the content of, you know, of your commitments relative to flying to Jupiter. And you, then you, you know, that's, that doesn't change.
Yeah.
So this methodology, you can't poke a hole in it. You know, when I it took me 4 years from the time I pulled the trigger to write Getting Things Done. From 97 to 2001 when it was published. You know, I'm not a ta-da kind of person. I mean, to me, I was going to put, you know, decades of my work and my career on the line by writing a book about it. And so I put everything in there, and I needed to trust that it was really, that it was real and that it really worked. And it turned out that the 4 years that I was writing the book, you know, I had one of the most challenging clients you could ever have, that if you didn't stand toe-to-toe with the best and brightest, you know, people on the planet, their immune system would spit you out in about 2 seconds. They'd do it very elegantly, but, you know, you couldn't get it. And my stuff went viral inside of that environment. I said, well, if they can't poke a hole in it, I don't think anybody else can either.
Can you name this client or?
Goldman Sachs.
So they adopted, they became believers, and then that was like the launch pad.
That helped a lot. Now, that's probably, they probably wouldn't like me saying that, but, you know, a lot of people, they've used a lot of consultants and lots of training, you know, inside of that. But again, that was true for Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse and and the big insurance companies and the big pharma. And, you know, we've done, I think we've done, you know, getting things done, seminars and coaching in at least 40 or 50% of the Fortune 500, you know, companies.
Yeah.
So again, you can't really poke a hole in it. So I'm not that particularly interested in seeing if anybody's poked a hole in it.
Yeah. It's not interesting.
Like, you know, I don't have time.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit about the implementation. So there are always first timers, people who will come across this methodology for the first time. You already hinted that you don't have to do the whole system or completely integrate it. What would be a first step or starting point for
Wanted to see, you know, people often ask, well, how long does it take to get value out of implementing this? I say, well, how long would it take you to write down the 10 things that have your attention and decide the next actions you need to take on each one of them? 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know. That's how, and then do that and then see how you feel.
Yeah.
And that's, it's just doing that with everything that has your attention and keeping on doing that. That can take a while to become, you know, habitual for you. But it doesn't take very long to do. If you just write a few more things down out of your head than you are now, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
If you just make a next action decision about something sooner than later, you're going to improve conditions around you. So, again, you know, any one of these techniques that are part of the methodology could improve your condition. If you do them all, really transformational.
Yeah. What could happen? What?
Well, it gives you a lot more space. You don't need time, you need room.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is if you don't have any room in your head, you can't be creative, you can't be innovative, you can't be strategic, you can't be present, you can't be as loving as you want to be with your kids or your dog or whatever. You're distracted and you're living in a distracted world. And so, you know, the ability to be able to, again, as we've mentioned, the ability to be able to get rid of those distractions and get clarity is going to give you a lot more room. You know, I was asked to come in and coach probably one of the top entrepreneurs in the world. This guy had built a company and sold it, a very successful company. You'd know it if I named it. And that's why he has his own jet. You know, he's on four boards. His new startup, when I started to work with him, it was about 6 months or 12 months old, already had a $2 billion market cap. One of the smartest guys I've ever run across, and certainly one of the most successful entrepreneurs I've ever met. And so he called me. I said, why are you calling me? You know, you're already, by anybody's standards, probably one of the most productive people on the planet.
Well on your
he
way.
Said, he no. said, I'm out of room. He said, I wake up with million-dollar ideas. I don't know what to do with them, who to give them to, or how to manage them. And so, you know, it's the space factor. I need more room to do the kind of thinking that I need to be doing. And that, you know, you could call it psychic space or mental room or whatever you want to call it, but it's that clarity, essentially. In other words, anybody listening to this right now, if you had nothing on your mind, nothing, it was a total blank slate, how would you use it? Would you use it to be more creative, more strategic, more loving, more present?
Yeah. Well, that's one of my top goals, being a loving person.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not saying it doesn't work, but life gets in the way, you know, you have so much to do and then...
Sure.
Yeah.
You just need more room.
Yeah. Yeah, that really rings true. And what about accountability partners? Are you familiar with that concept? Because one of my struggles is I know what to do, I know how to do it, but I don't do it. So for me, it could be very beneficial. I already experimented with it to have a partner in crime.
Somebody hold you accountable for it.
Come on. Yeah. You said the goal was A, B, C, but you didn't do it. So tell me why.
Yeah, it probably works. You know, my good friend Marshall Goldsmith has done that for many years. He talks about that. That's how he's been quite successful, written so many books and done everything he's done. I don't do it.
Yeah.
I just kind of hold myself accountable for doing
this
stuff.
Autonomous.
Yeah. My wife holds me accountable for certain things, of course. You know, we share roles. I'm trash man. She's early morning dog pee and poop person. You know? So we have our own roles, and we kind of hold each other semi accountable, but not hard nosed.
Hmm. Interesting. I want to wrap up this interview. You get to ask a question to the audience. So instead of giving your best advice or putting something on a billboard, I would like to ask you to propose a question to anybody who's listening or watching. What would you...
I would say, back to what we were just talking about, I would say, how would you use more space if you had it?
It's beautiful. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening or watching to Groeivoer. If you want to know more about Getting Things Done or David Allen, please check out gettingthingsdone.com and be sure to subscribe to Groeivoer on YouTube or your favorite audio channel. Till next time. Lieve luisteraar of kijker van Groeivoer, dankjewel dat je deze aflevering helemaal tot het einde beluisterd hebt en misschien zelfs wel bekeken op het Groeivoer YouTube kanaal. Ik wil je een paar dingen vragen als je deze aflevering tof vond en ik ga je ook iets geven. Maar ik begin met het vragen van een review. Vond jij deze aflevering waardevol? Wil je dan een korte review achterlaten op Spotify? Wat ik ook heel tof zou vinden is als je deze aflevering wilt delen op jouw social media, bijvoorbeeld op je LinkedIn. Ik ben ook altijd op zoek naar feedback om de podcast beter te maken. Stuur dat naar mij toe. En je mag ook altijd gasten aandragen als jij denkt dat je een inspirerende ondernemer kent. Ik wil je ook iets geven, namelijk mijn netwerk. Dus ik wil je van harte uitnodigen. Verbind met mij op LinkedIn als we nog niet verbonden zijn. En ik denk graag met je mee hoe ik je verder kan helpen met alle mensen die ik ken. En tot slot, ik kan je ook altijd helpen met je eigen podcastkanaal. Dus mocht je zelf een podcast willen gaan maken, dan geef ik je gratis podcastadvies. Graag tot snel.